this week we take a break from watching kaiju films to reflect back on the films of the 2010s, revealing our favorites and the worst movies of the decade. Where does the longest season of the show stack up against the rest? And did we give the best scores of the films to ones in previous decades? Well, we'll find out along with us in this special celebratory episode of the podcast. This is Kaiju vs. History, the episode 200 season 7 wrap-up special.
Welcome, one and all, to the end of Season 7 of Kaiju vs. History. I am your host that is ready to rate a film from 1 to 10 miles. And joining me here, like he has for the past 199 episodes, my friend Patrick. Patrick, how you doing?
Very good, very good. Thank you, Miles. Welcome yourself. Welcome to the celebratory nature here of a 200th show. Quite a run we've gone on here. And didn't think it would happen so quickly. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of really funny because, I mean, on one hand, we've been doing this for what, 3 years now? Four years?
Really close to four. Yeah, we'll be hitting a 4-year anniversary.
Yeah, which is wild to me. And, you know, obviously we are kind of in the twilight years of this show as we know it, at least.
I thought you were going to say of our lives.
Well, yeah. There's that too.
Yeah, we're old as heck.
But it is crazy. One, I think when we first started this project, I had assumed there was a lot more kaiju films than there are. Now, I know there's a lot of hair splitting and there's stuff that we don't do. And, you know, yes, we could have probably done every giant robot monster type of movie, but those aren't really kaiju movies. And we do get into the adjacent territory. But yeah, I'm a little surprised that,
it's been a while since we talked about it, but maybe this episode's the time to do so, because, well, I mean, besides talking about the 2010s this past season, this is just going to be a general celebration of the podcast. And the reason, you know, we had some questions about, like, you know, what actually is a kaiju movie, is there's not a single hard definition, because it is a very, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's a nebulous genre, but it's one that a lot of movies kind of dip toes into. But just because a movie has a kaiju in it does not make it a kaiju movie. Like, we, spoiler warning, we're not going to do the Suicide Squad movie for the podcast, as much as I enjoyed James Gunn.
Yeah, I mean, it's one that I kind of toyed with for quite a bit based on some of the passes we gave older films.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? We probably really could. Because for some of the movies that we watched from the 50s and stuff, and for as little kaiju as there was, like, this one is an actual named creature that qualifies, who's on screen probably as much as these, you know, jackholes were.
Well, we usually like 2 out of 3 of kind of our golden rules, but the focus of the film should be on the monster, you know, the somewhat sentient monster, and it shouldn't just be an animal. We've talked a lot about, like, how, you know, Lake Placid or something just doesn't quite cut it. Even if that alligator or crocodile was like twice as big, you know. It is just
big. It's more than twice as big. I mean, it's giant creature sized, but it's not kaiju sized. And
yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Even if it was kaiju sized,
the thing that kind of breaks that is we did do the host, and the gator is about the size of the creature from the host, but the host is its own kind of thing, and it does use a lot of kaiju tropes.
That's the second golden rule: is the monster should have some features or characteristics that differ it from common creatures, or, you know.
Which Starro technically does.
Well, and also the third should play or add to the tropes of kaiju cinema. It is really just there in that third act as the antithesis.
It is. I posit that is true for many films that we have covered, is all.
True, but it's more about the Suicide Squad. It's not. If like the entire movie was about them trying to stop a kaiju Invasion. Obviously, that would, I think, make the list, but it's like, it's pretty short, like when the kaiju's in the film.
But that's actually one. A little bit longer, but I'm not here to parse about Suicide Squad.
Same thing with like the Stay Puffed
Marshmallow Man.
You know, it's like he is a ghost and like they're fighting ghosts, but it's not about the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
No, so, but like, and, well, the thing about the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man is that he's a manifestation brought on by race dance, and it's dicey, although it certainly does follow some kaiju rules. I get what you're saying. I don't quite agree with Starro specifically, but I'm also not one to be like, okay, like we're not gonna have a big old brawl about it.
It just it
was fun to watch.
It's the same thing of, you know, is a hot dog a sandwich? That whole debate. And people that say a hot dog is a sandwich, I'm very confused, because if I asked, hey, do you want a sandwich? I'm going to go make one in the kitchen. And you're like, yeah, sure. And then I come back with two hot dogs. You're going to look at me like I'm a crazy person, Miles. And it's the same thing. It's like,
hey. I mean, I won't, because I love hot dogs. So I will be like happy.
If I said to you, it's like, hey, do you want to watch a kaiju movie with me this weekend? And then I just put on the Suicide Squad. You'd be like, what? You know, there's kaiju in it. It's not a kaiju movie.
I mean, is cereal just sugary gazpacho?
No. No. You're a crazy person. Yeah, there's a ton of those out there where it's like.
So the hot dog sandwich thing, I get it. Here's the thing is like, would it technically be correct? Possibly. But there is an understood like division. So anyone that says like is going to like, oh, how come hot dogs not under a sandwich on a menu, is just being a contrarian ass. Like,
what's like, the same thing with a hamburger? It's like a hamburger is a sandwich, but it's like
it is a sandwich. Like, absolutely,
yeah, sandwiches, and then bring out ham.
Well, I've seen more and more restaurants now like put everything under quote unquote handhelds.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah, weird. I've seen that a lot of handhelds or. Just like between the bread or something like that, they'll do stuff to put everything under one thing, and I'm like, you can have a section for burgers and sandwiches. I mean, it is what it is. But I will posit that, like, I say I've used that word again. That there are certainly things that you could, and I have like put in the kaiju genre that may not technically belong there. It is always, and that includes us. Your mileage may vary. Like, and we had this conversation when we covered Tremors, where I was. You know, adamant about it being included, and you're like, well, not really. And it's there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's, you know.
Yeah, Tremors is something I do like to point out, because it also plays with those tropes, because technically they are using miniatures, they are using all kinds of the kaiju film technology, including not necessarily Suitimation, but kind of animatronics.
Yeah, they're certainly using practical effects.
Yeah, amazing effects. And
also like Fred Ward and Kevin Bacon just putting on the performances of their lives.
It's so funny. I always do think of that movie as an 80s film. And I know it's right there on the cusp in 1990, but
yeah, I mean, it's right. Absolutely. It's right there on the cusp.
I think I just want to add it into the 80s, because the 80s was such a absolute dearth of kaiju films for us. It's our shortest season of this podcast, and yeah, it's crazy. You know, Star Wars came out and a whole bunch of other movies, and horror fans went to slashers, and everyone else went to
and
sci-fi,
and John Carpenter fantasy. Like pumped out five-star movie after five-star movie.
Yeah, some great films by him. But then, yeah, we didn't get much in the way of excellent
giant monsters. Now, if you read most books on the film history of Godzilla, or you read one of the few lost films of Kaiju Eiga books that are out there, a lot of them will talk about the many, many attempts there was to make a American Godzilla film even in the 80s. And some of those sounded pretty neat, and some of them sounded very terrible. So I think it did lead to one. I think it was Fred Decker and Shane Black worked together. I think that happened before Monster Squad or Predator. So that the attempt, like they first were brought on to like try to get that off the ground, and it didn't work out, and they made the Monster Squad as a result.
Yeah, so we've been looking at kaiju movies now for about 4 years, 200 episodes. We're, gosh, what, 8 episodes shy or so of that 4 year anniversary, but quite a run here. And yeah, I don't know about you, but when we started this podcast, you seem to think there would be a lot more. I didn't know if we were going to get to episode 200, if we're like talking about these kind of tighter restrictions. And at the time of, you know, we started talking about this podcast maybe in 2020, but started in 2021. We're like,
I think we actually first started talking in like 2019.
Yeah. Well, or just, yeah, watching all these movies.
Because I think I said yes, and then you were like, all right, well, it was like 6 months later, like, well, we're going to do this in June. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, yeah, by the way, start watching every kaiju movie ever made. Yeah. But yeah, here we are now. We're recording this right before I take a trip to Japan, a trip to, if not the birthplace of kaiju films, definitely the home of the genre for the longest time. And I'm very excited. We've got a whole bunch of kaiju related stuff on the itinerary, lots of Godzilla stores,
some wrestling stuff.
Some fun wrestling stuff. The last day of a Godzilla art exhibit is the first day that we're in Japan. So that's on the agenda. I just booked those tickets to the Mori Art Museum. So I will try to share a whole bunch of photos while I'm over there. I'm realizing though, you know, like communication with you is probably going to be nigh impossible, because it's like when it's like 9 a.m. over there, it's like 9 p.m. here.
right. Yeah.
It's like a full 13 hours ahead.
Yeah. There's not going to be a whole lot of communique between the two of us.
Or 13 hours behind, I forget. But yeah, I'm very excited about that. It just does feel like a kind of a accumulation of what we've been doing here. I get to enjoy seeing all these locations that were destroyed in film, and I'm going to be doing a lot of fun sightseeing. So let's get into this episode and talk about, let's talk first about the 2010s and do our kind of review of them, and also talk a little bit about some of the projects that we skipped over. And maybe because we already mentioned Tremors, we should first talk about the 2012 film Grabbers that we didn't add to this list. Have you seen Grabbers?
I have. I kind of regret that we didn't do Grabbers, because we did Tremors, it would have made sense. Also, it's a super fun movie from a nation we don't get a ton of big giant creature features from. Yeah,
it's from Ireland or from?
From Ireland, yeah.
Oh,
yes. And it is a super fun monster horror comedy where the denizens of this small Irish town realize they kind of have to stay drunk so they don't get eaten. So it plays with a lot of like Irish stereotypes, which I thought was a really fun thing for them to shop internationally. Mm-hmm. And while Grabbers is kind of it plays on the kind of fun B aspect, it would go like hand in hand with watching like, yeah, Tremors or the Feast franchise, stuff like that. I do wish it had a better name.
And Grabbers, well, I say it does have some cool posters. The posters, yes, definitely, I think, overemphasize the size of the creature in the film, which is,
yeah,
mostly the size of something that could fit inside a house and not on top of a house like that. Poster shows, but an interesting one that I think, because we were already kind of stretching limits with a Tremors, this one would be stretching even further. And there's so many monster movies like this.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other one in the 90s that we put on the
Deep Rising?
Yeah, Deep Rising is kind of,
well, Deep Rising monster actually was kaiju sized.
It was very large, yes. But the first film though that we skipped over is a short film called The God of Clay. It's a Japanese film. I think maybe one day we should just do a special of shorts.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I thought about that as soon as we did How from Behind the Fog. I was like, you know what, we probably should go back and do some of these shorts. You know, after we finished that one, because that one's only like 35 minutes. And we have, Nezora 64 coming, which is about 60 minutes, which I guess is technically full length.
Yeah.
I still consider a short film in some ways.
God of Clay is like maybe 10 or 15 minutes, yeah. I think. So it's pretty short, but it's another kind of independent short film. And I feel like there have been so many of those in the last decade that it was hard to dedicate a single episode to all of them. But I think I would like to add that in to our potentials for a short special. In the same vein, but pretty much the same length as Howl from Beyond the Fog, was 2014's Day of the Kaiju. It's a short film about a small town that has the military has like just killed a kaiju monster, and it's about them dealing with kind of the environmental slash potential threat of having this dead body on their beach. And it is mostly about the people. Like, I don't even think it shows the kaiju. I think I've watched it once, but it's also known as Day of the Monster in Japan. And that's another one I think we can add to our shorts list, even though that kind of treads the line. But I was happy to add Howl from Beyond the Fog, was that last week's episode, to our list, because that one does feel like, you know, a full project. Maybe a little constrained by how much money they had to work with.
Right.
But another full film I probably would have added to our list had we had access to it was 2018's Kojin. Have you heard of this movie, Miles?
No, I don't think I have.
It is I think, Edo period piece film about samurai kind of organizing like a town to fight against a monster that's attacking. And it's pretty big. I want to say it's, you know, it's larger than the host monster, but it's similar. And if you Google the monster, it kind of looks like they're doing a fantasy version of Shin Godzilla.
Well, that's fun.
He's got like the weird eyes and stuff. And, also looks a little bit like a big gator, big toad or something like that. But I don't think we have access to a translation of it, unfortunately. I want to say this was a shorter release kind of film, but I think I would have added this one, but not the next film, which we had a couple of films on the Asylum list that we didn't do. Because they do a lot of big monster movies, but one of them was the knockoff of The Meg, or their mockbuster, I should say, of The Meg, which was just called Megalodon. And I couldn't, Miles. It really does kind of break our rules, because it is just a big animal, you know, basically.
Well, I mean, Megalodon, the Meg also does kind of break our rules too, to a degree.
Yeah, but the technology that they use in that movie just really does make it feel like makes it feels like a 1960s sci-fi movie, sci-fi kaiju movie, because they've got all this crazy bottom.
Oh, I mean, it certainly has things that are applicable. I'm just saying, like, you know, technically a megalodon is just an animal in the same vein. Like, I get why we did it specifically for our show, but at the same time, we're not doing Jurassic Park.
In that movie, like, the first shark is probably close to an actual megalodon size. And then you get to the second shark, which is, once again, just the third act. And it's like, it's very much kaiju size. It's much.
Well, bigger. Yes. And the second film is much more of a kaiju movie.
Yes. That was the other thing. I think we
decided to do the first one because we were doing the second one. And I didn't want to not watch the first one.
Yeah, it seems weird. It seems weird to retroactively kind of give it that. But I think we did the same for Asylum's Mega Shark versus series, because the Mega Shark is really just a large shark.
It's a Mega Shark. I mean, the thing was, they did the whole versus nomenclature, and that kind of made it feel very kaiju-like, you know?
In the later movies, they go up against like a giant robot and stuff, and it's like, all right, this is so weird. This giant fleshy robot.
Oh, you're talking about the Colossus.
Yeah.
The Attack on Titan, like.
I was so confused what they were doing with that. Yeah, I was pretty happy to skip an Asylum film. I will say that. But yeah, I think some of these movies, I do wish, like I said, and I think maybe was a television production. Maybe that's why it didn't get a wider release, but I'm a sucker for those kind of period piece films. So I would have enjoyed checking it out, even if it wasn't, you know, the largest kaiju. I just feel like it being set in Japan and having this, you know, varying time period would be interesting enough to add into the list. If you speak Japanese, you can find it online, but I don't think there has been any translations. Maji, are you ready to talk about reviews? Talk about how the 2010s stacked up. But don't look at the notes here, but do you think, what's your, I guess, gut feeling about this decade compared to we've done now the 1950s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the 2000s? So this is...
I mean, this decade has some big winners, and it's got a lot... I think that's what drags it down. It's just, I mean, like in any decade, but like there's just a lot of stinkers that drag down an otherwise really good year, a really good decade. Like, I feel like there was more divide than there is, like, to me, I felt like it was either a banger film or it was a sub five. I don't think we had a lot of five through sevens. And I think that kind of keeps things I would say we're around the sixes. I feel like, cause we had some really, really like incredible movies that I know we gave a lot of flowers to.
Well, spoiler warning, almost every decade is in the sixes. So we're really talking about a range for all of the seasons of between 6.2, and our highest rated season is an average of 7. So it's not
the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yes. Yes. The 1990s. Spoilers, but it's our highest rated decade. But this one is right in the middle. Over 40 films. You gave out 250 stars. Once again, we do a 10 star system basically on the show. And over 40 films, I gave out 268 stars, 18 more than you, which puts your kind of average for this decade at a 6.3 out of 10, and mine at a 6.7. Not crazy different. That's, I feel like 0.4 is actually one of our closest seasons ever since. The 90s was also about 0.4 away, so I think we agreed maybe more than disagreed in this season. But yeah, the final for the 2010s, the aggregate, I guess, of all of the films was a 6.4 out of 10. So,
okay,
you're right. And that puts it smack dab in the middle. Well, we gave a total of 257 stars to the 40 films, a 6.4 average. And that means still the worst decade that we've reviewed is the 1970s. Surprising to me, to be honest, but that is
the 50s are there like by the hair. They're changing, like, it's a 6.2 and a 6.3.
Well, I should add, you know, our 1950s decade has what, three films from before the 1950s, because we did lump in the original King Kong,
and a Beast from 20,000 Fathoms or whatever.
Well, that is in the 50s, actually, but the other one was Mighty Joe Young.
Oh, yeah, Mighty Joe Young.
1949,
I think. Which I loved.
Yeah, so those were kind of the outliers, but everything else was from the 50s. That is our second worst decade, I guess. And then the 1980s, and once again, that one is saved by having so few films.
Yeah, so it was like 13 in that one, right?
Yeah, and one of them was a perfect 10 from us, so it's like really all over the place. But yeah, this decade of the 2010s comes in right in the middle, 4th out of 7. And then the top three, third place is 1960s. Second place is the 2000s, which I was very surprised by. And then the best decade still so far is the 1990s for kaiju films. And if you are a fan, you are not surprised once more that it's not getting usurped by the 2010s.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of curious how the 2020s are going to do in comparison. Well, we're only halfway through the decade. We're not even halfway through the decade. Well, I guess we are halfway through the mid-year, so I guess we are smack dab in the middle of the decade.
Yeah. And to be honest, we have already added a lot of things to our list. It is, I think, the start of the kind of kaiju revolution was the end of the last decade, but we're only feeling the effects now, because projects started in like 2019 and 2020.
Yeah.
After
then we had a big old epidemic.
Pando, yes. Yeah. But yeah, projects like
pandemic, you know, yeah,
that, like animated kaiju movies. We had like 4 or 5 in the last 5 years, which is crazy. I'm very excited to talk about. And then, you know, return to Godzilla films, both Japan and the US. So we have a lot to talk about in our season 8, which we'll talk about later. But let's talk about, well, I'll give you the option. You want to talk about the best movies or the worst movies of the 2010s?
Let's start off talking about the worst.
Okay. Yeah, we'll talk about first just the lowest rated films from the 2010s. I've written 2000s here now. From the 2010s, number 5 is Atlantic Rim. We gave a 4 out of 10. Number 4 is Mega Shark versus Mecha Shark. Another 4. Number 3 is Atlantic Rim Resurrection. Yes, the sequel to Atlantic Rim is also on here. Number 2 is Monsters Dark Continent, one of your lowest scores at a 2 out of 10. And number 1, with a bullet, worst film of the 2010s was Zillafoot. Zillafoot. Again, you gave it a 2 out of 10. I gave it pretty sure a 0. I did not like that movie. Yeah, so we are adding a film to our bottom 10 of all time list, and that is Zillafoot. And we're going to say goodbye to Jumborg, Ace, and Giant, which I think had a 4 out of 10. So right now, the bottom 10 list for our podcast, Miles, is only 3 stars and below. So everything on here is, I would say that's a pretty guaranteed stinker kind of a film, even though some of these I'm looking at them were fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised other ones haven't popped in. Well, I'm looking at our full bottom 10. I mean, this is exactly what I would expect this list to look like. Actually, not looking at it, I'm like, no, all of these movies are trash.
I feel like if I sentenced anyone to watch these, I would feel bad about it.
Especially those bottom 3.
So Zillafoot is going to take the number 1 slot right behind Queen Kong. I still think they're
number 2 spot, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's the both. They both have a 1. They both have kind of a similar score, but they're still.
We're split on which one we hate more. I hate Queen Kong more. You hate Zillafoot more.
Yeah, Queen Kong is just, it's still undisputedly the worst, but I'll talk about why I think it's a little important later. But yeah, they're tied at 1 out of 10 stars. We did, I think, both kind of enjoy Zillafoot more as a kaiju film. So our bottom 10, do you want to run through this list real quick? Were you surprised at anything that's on here?
No.
It's a lot of Kong stuff, for surprisingly.
Not to me.
About what, 5 or 6 of these are kind of like Kong like monsters or just spoofs of King Kong. The Mighty Kong is at number 3. That is actually King Kong in there. King of the Lost World is at number 6, I believe. 7. The Mighty Gorga is at number 5. And yeah, Zillafoot, Queen Kong, number 2 and number 1. I'm actually kind of surprised Zarkor the Invader is this low. It's number 3 on our list. It's a bad movie, but maybe a fun movie.
Oh no, I hated that one.
I might be confusing Zarkor with the other one by the same production company. What else did they do?
Didn't they do Craw?
Yeah, Craw. Craw. We gave a much higher score to Craw. We gave 5 out of 10. Yes, and so Zarkor 2 out of 10. Let's switch it over to the top films of the 2010s. We've got like a kind of a 5-way tie for our 5th.
Yeah.
Because we have a bunch of 8 out of 10s, some of which we both gave an 8. And I would say the 2 that are both thematically and stylistically the same, Jellyfish Eyes and Love and Peace. Jellyfish Eyes, you gave a 9 out of 10 to. Mm-hmm. And Love and Peace, I gave a 9 out of 10 to. And then the other person gave a 7 out of 10. So that's
so funny.
But then we felt the same way about Outer Man, Shin Godzilla, and Kaiju Mono. All great films, but those are all kind of tied for that fifth place. And then surprisingly, yeah, we only had one film that we gave a 9 out of 10 to.
I'm looking at two.
Pacific. Oh no. Did I mess up the list? Oh no. What else? What else besides Pacific Rim did I give a 9 out of, we give a 9 out of 10 to?
That number three.
Oh, right. Yes.
I'm looking at two nines. I was like, what's happening here?
No, I gave, yes, number three is Godzilla 2014, Legendary Godzilla. I gave it a 10 out of 10, but and Pacific Rim. But that our final score is down to a 9. And then same thing with Kong Skull Island. I think it averaged up to a 10, but you were on the 9 side of things.
Yeah.
And then I don't think it was a perfect 10, but our number one movie for the 2010s is Godzilla King of the Monsters. And...
well, if it wasn't a perfect 10, that was on you because I gave it all 10s.
I don't think. Well, I mean, I have to remember a month and a half ago, but I don't think I did. I'll go back and check.
Clearly you didn't if it's not a perfect 10.
Well, we both gave it 10s, but I could have given it like a 9.6, which we just round up, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, we are adding one movie to our top 10 best kaiju movies ever made list in. Spoiler warning, and Godzilla King of the Monsters. And yeah, it's only the second time, though, that we are adding a non-Japanese film to this list, you know, since like the 1960s. That is the only other English-speaking made film.
I have zero problem with that whatsoever. I mean, as I said in the episode, Godzilla King of the Monsters has been kind of one of my go-to, like, comfort food Godzilla movies. I love it so much, and so I'm really, really happy to see that one make the list.
Yeah, I think I dinged it maybe for the technical, but yeah, it didn't get a perfect 10 from me, and because of that, we're putting it right up there with the original Gojira, which had a 10 out of 10, Gamera 3, Revenge of Iris, and yeah, this knocks our last 9 out of 10 film from the top 10 list. I think Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2 is leaving, which was a 9 out of 10. Although, in retrospect, I probably wish I had given a little higher score. But that means our top 10 list is a top 10 list. Miles, everything on here is now
a 10.
Certified 10 out of 10, yes. And we're starting with Godzilla Final Wars at 10. 9 is Godzilla versus Destoroyah, which... I'm surprised it's this low. 8 is Cloverfield. 7 is Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, the original 1970s film. Number 6 is Gamera, Guardian of the Universe, the first Gamera film on this list. 5 is the original Gojira. And I think they're the same score, but I put Godzilla King of the Monsters ahead of it. They're probably interchangeable. I think I would rather watch Godzilla King of the Monsters myself, but... mm-hmm. Number 3 and number 2, Gamera Revenge of Iris, and then Gamera the Brave. So two Gamera films.
Makes me so happy to see Gamera the Brave on there.
And still the only perfect 10, 6 10s across the board between you and I was Godzilla versus Biollante. I feel like I can watch that movie
anytime. Yeah, I feel like we walked in to this podcast kind of saying that at the top of the very beginning of everything. And that has stayed true.
Well, I've wanted to do this podcast specifically for the context and like, is this the best movie of this decade? Is this the best movie of this era? You know, like the Heisei era of Godzilla films, and watching them, you know, right after one another definitely has an effect where you can, I think, appreciate more where it comes from, how ahead of its time some of these films were, especially, boy, howdy, those Gamera movies were so good. And then something like Cloverfield, you know, it's as long ago as that was now, it definitely felt still ahead of its time. Right, so that makes 40 episodes that we did in the 2010s, Miles. I think tied with maybe the most film projects of any decade, which was the 1960s, I want to say. That one maybe had some more TV shows. I forget if it's the same number of films or not, but I really thought the 1960s was going to stand for a while as the longest season of this podcast. That went from episode 25, the 1960s, to episode 65. So that was 40 episodes, but it had, yeah, what, four TV shows? I want to say there was less in the 2010s.
Okay.
Yes, that there was only the Kong King of the Apes in the 2010s. So more films technically in the this last season than in the 1960s, which was surprising to me. But it doesn't count, Miles. I'm taking back the award because so much of it was Asylum, Drek, and also a lot of independent projects from Japan, which maybe is just, you know, a change in how the industry works. Those are things that just did not exist 50 years prior in the 1960s.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly have that. And, like, you know, watching some of these Japanese independent films, I'm like, even when they're not even landing that well, they just do so much of a better job than the American independent productions. And by that, I mean basically half the stuff we get from SRS, like your Zilla Foot and the like, not Zilla, which, you know, they just all seem like these half-assed attempts. And, like, yeah, I see people who clearly love kaiju movies, but, like, they don't make, like, there doesn't seem to be a real, like, genuine effort to make one. Whereas, you know, I watch a Minoru Kawasaki movie, and, like, even though I don't always love everything that he puts out or anything, you can tell there's a real love there and an attempt to make something that is conversing with the genre, at least. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that from the American counterparts in these on those low budget movies. That said, I think one of my biggest surprise of the 2010s for me was Jellyfish Eyes. Mm-hmm. I was extremely taken with that. As soon as I watched it, I ordered the Blu-ray from Criterion. I was super, super into it. I think like within the last couple of months, I heard that like they actually might start working on the second one again.
So crazy.
Cause he filmed like, I want to say like half of it or two thirds of it. And then like everything fell apart. And so I know there's supposed to be a time jump, but I think he's trying to get everything going to make a second Jellyfish Eyes movie at this point. It's like, it's fine. He made a great movie. Let's move on.
Those kids are now adults and they have their own kids.
Right.
It was 12 years ago.
Well, the thing is, like, you wouldn't even really need to have the same kids in there.
Yeah. But
you could easily do a next generation type of situation.
I feel like this is the decade as well where Hollywood came back to the genre in a large way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is where, like, you mentioned at the top of the show, is like, you know, this establishes the new golden age of kaiju films. I and for me, really starting with King of the Monsters as like cementing, hey, Godzilla's back, baby. And yeah, it's been nothing but a cultural movement ever since, culminating, and we'll see if it ends up being the peak, with, you know, last year's Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah.
Was it last year or the year before?
2024.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, so it is definitely a banner decade, and I we're feeling the effects of it still, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, even something like Rampage, you know, a big budget rock movie with giant monsters, The Meg in a similar vein, and, you know, Hollywood, you know, larger budget, but films like Colossal coming out too. It's mm-hmm. just so important that it does feel finally like kind of a worldwide phenomena again, where the yes. 90s felt very much, despite 98's Godzilla, felt like still just important in Japan. But yeah, that continues on into the 2020s, which I'm excited to talk about. And we can talk about it right now if you want. We are in the era, I think, of this revolution, but it's still an odd one. I feel like the 2020s, we might have already in 2025 when we're recording this, surpassed the amount of movies in the 2010s. There are just so many, and not it doesn't have the same bloat from Asylum films, even though there's a good many Asylum films that are already on our list. But there's just a lot of independent films. There's a lot of other countries kind of getting into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about a few weeks ago, the Snow Monster versus Ice Shark, starting a wave of Chinese films, and not just Chinese, but like other film production companies in Asia getting interested. And yeah, the revolution just keeps on going. Yeah. I think on our podcast list so far, we already have 30 films that we're going to look at and like five TV series. So maybe this time next year we'll have surpassed season 10. You know, we have upcoming projects that are still on our list that we're going to do. And I think we'll catch up with like Godzilla, X Kong, Supernova, which let's put a suggestion out there. Do Space Godzilla. Why not? It sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, I mean, personally,
Space Kong.
Yeah, I certainly want a return to focus on Godzilla. The last two movies have been fairly Kong focused. And I think part of that was I had to do with possibly like there was a big question on how much longer they would have Godzilla. I think now Toho's been come around and be like, you know what? You've got your Godzilla. Now we've got ours. Both do very well. Let's not worry
Toho
about it.
Toho is still polishing that Oscar, you know?
Right, so yeah.
Pretty stoked about how Minus One did.
And I believe the sequel starts filming like in a couple months, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're filming, once again, these films kind of like back to back, which you're not going to get any complaints out of me. So
no, I'm just so nervous because, I mean, obviously, spoiler warning, we both were big fans of Godzilla Minus One. There is a little bit of nervous excitement too, because it's like, oh, you made like this incredible film, like,
yeah, let's see a bottle follow it up again.
Yeah,
well, yeah, and we
because the project itself was going to be a one-off thing until that Toho could kind of figure out how they wanted to do they had talked about doing their own expanded universe with monsters, and then, you know, Minus One became such a global phenomenon, you couldn't ignore it.
I need them to just go ahead and take the DCU approach of like, let Matt Reeves make his movie, let someone else do like a main, like there's not a number of Godzilla movies that I won't go see, you know?
Well, yeah, at the same time, I want, you know, Godzilla, you know, Minus One sequel to like, you know, some little kid come in with the little necklace being like, I'm putting together a team. And we get Gamera and Godzilla finally after all these years.
Boy, howdy. What I would really like is them to, Godzilla Minus One came out in 2023 and we got it in 2024.
Right.
But yes, I would like us to go back to a place like if this is an actual kaiju renaissance of a Godzilla movie every year, you know, it doesn't have to be the same series, but like we'll have a Godzilla Minus One sequel. We'll have a Godzilla X Kong sequel. We'll have a third unknown project when there's still,
yeah, or maybe, you know, give us some separate stuff again. Give us a Mothra movie. Bring Mothra back. Give us, you know, haven't seen Rodan in a while. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of his appearance in King of the Monsters, but like I would love to see like stuff with other monsters if they can come up with some cool stuff, which I really think they can. You know, this didn't start with Godzilla. I mean, it's always been a thing about kaiju films, but I think in the Renaissance, I think several people have really understood what has made these movies so important, and it's often how they respond to the world around them as speculative fiction. And you know, some of the best movies, I'm looking at this list, and almost all of them in some way respond to the zeitgeist or the culture around them. And I think that's pretty incredible. It's one of the special things about kaiju cinema. And I hope to continue to see that kind of thing. You know, the Americans of the God.
Oh, I lost you there.
Let me just double check.
Yep, can hear you now.
Okay. I feel like the Americans have done it the softest, despite how much I love the American Godzilla films. Mm-hmm. They are certainly much more of a empty calorie in terms of its political commentary. Like, oh yeah, Godzilla and the Titans, they're, you know, they're the natural balance. That's pretty as far as they go with commenting on anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we'll see where these series continue on and what projects. Like I said, we have 4.5 more years of this season, so we'll see what comes up. There are plenty of these films on this list that I have yet to watch. Like, I'm saving them specifically for the podcast to kind of have them fresh, and you know, I'm excited about them. I'm excited,
oh yeah,
to finally dive into them. And a lot of these we have both already seen. We have already recorded. We recorded it a year and a half ago, our Godzilla Minus One episode. So you'll hear very fresh faced Miles and Patrick on that one, but everything else will be. Oh, and we also technically recorded the Evangelion 3.0 plus 1.0 because we recorded those like crazy early, basically as soon as that one finally came out. Yeah, so a really stacked 2020 to look forward to season 8. Is there a project in this upcoming season that you're most excited about, maybe outside of some of the more obvious ones?
I'm trying to think if there's anything off the top of my head that we have on our list that is, gosh, I mean, obviously the Godzilla ones I'm excited to get to. I'm trying to think if something that I really want to talk about. Do you have one?
There's a few, and it's stuff I haven't seen yet specifically to hold off on, but there's a Swedish or Norwegian kaiju film in Troll that came out on Netflix.
Yeah, and I still haven't seen that, and it's got a sequel coming out too.
It has a sequel called Troll 2, Miles. I'm very excited about that as well.
Oh boy.
It might be coming out this year. I'm not sure, but those are two that are high up there. I'm excited to talk to you and revisit Godzilla X Kong New World Order. Really enjoyed that in theater, and I'm hoping, giving it a little bit of breathing room, giving it like a year or so breathing room, it will stand up.
I'm looking at the list now. I've been very curious about The Lake for quite some time.
Another one I haven't seen.
I'm excited to rewatch Nope, and I have been excited about the release. This is an odd one. The Primevals technically was initially made in the 1990s or the early, late 80s. I think Full Moon and or one of Charles Band's companies, and finally got a release like this past or this year, I think.
Like almost 30 years in the making, the Primevals. I'm excited about that one, mostly because I think it's going to be exactly what it pretends to be, a blast from the past of a film. Like actors have, like, not just the director, but actors have like passed away since that movie came out. So it's really like,
yeah. And I have been very, very curious ever since the project was announced about Nezra 1964. That's when I haven't made the time to see it. And I
Can't hear you again. What's happening?
Dork. I need to get one.
Yo, your microphone. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, my mic connection. Ever since it broke before we did the SBB show, I got a replacement, but it's never sat right with my. I just need to get a whole new mic and stuff. It's
it's that time.
Yeah.
Well, it's God, how many episodes of podcasts have you recorded with this microphone? Like 1,000.
At least 200.
Yeah, I was about to say. Right. Well, yeah. Speaking of which, this is season 7 of the podcast. We've now watched over 86 years of kaiju films. Got 86 years, probably closer to 170 films. I feel like, you know, with our special episodes and some kaiju TV stuff that we've did, about 170 films, and we'll probably get close to 200 by the time we catch up with the present. But yeah, looking back on the last 200 episodes, Miles, any regrets or any things you want to celebrate here at the ending of this episode?
I can't think of any regrets.
No.
I mean, outside of having to watch Zillafoot.
Some of the bad ones, maybe.
But no. I'm happy we've gone on the journey that we have. Like this was you know, the warts and all mission statement we started off with was we wanted to watch every single kaiju movie ever made in chronological order as best we could. And so in that respect, even the awful, 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 awful films that we have had to endure, we've also discovered so many incredible films that, and many of which, you know, have been reappraised over time, like Godzilla versus Hedorah. But for years here was mostly a joke because it was Godzilla versus the smog monster. But, you know, it's been so much fun to go through every single one of these. And I feel like this way every single season that we do is, you know, I've at least once per season find a brand new film that I had never really experienced before and, you know, taking something, you know, incredible with me. And I continue to hope to have that experience as we go into the next season in the 2012s or 2020s, which will, you know, kind of bring us to our current day, which at that point we'll have to figure out what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, do we just change the podcast completely at that time?
Well, I think we'll still be. We will talk about the where do we go from here moment when we get closer to that time. But we'll figure something out, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like getting to the year 2020. That's when we started talking about the show. We started recording in 2021. To me, that is the modern era of kaiju films. We're no longer talking about like the history of kaiju. We're talking about current kaiju movies. Although I think we're really there with like, I would say like the modern age probably starts with your Legendaries Godzilla or Shin Godzilla. But yeah, we're finally caught up to the present. And in a lot of ways, I feel like we've already succeeded at the purpose of the show, looking through, doing an inventory of the genre, and taking a critical eye to the past films. So, I mean, big, I'm gonna break my own arm, patting myself on the back, but we've did it. We've gotten through the low lows, these bad movies like Queen Kong, which I said I would mention again, but because it's so bad, it still shows us that like the genre was so popular that it could support a movie like that, a terrible, terrible movie like that. And then, yeah, we've had some of the highest highs. We're talking, you know, we got to talk about Ishiro Honda's 1954 Godzilla film. We talked about the 90s Gamera and Godzilla movies, how those are some of the best. And yeah, talking just about how the genre gets reinvented over and over again. You get films like Cloverfield, but I digress there. Miles, if we are in the modern era of kaiju films, do we have to change the name of the podcast to Kaiju versus current history, or
no,
contemporary history?
It's still part of kaiju history, just because it is current events, or it's, you know,
I will
what's
say
what's going on right now. It will be part of history.
I've always mentioned like this season, quote unquote, we are going to like catch up with, like, eventually we're going to review a film the week it comes out, you know,
mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm,
that's probably mm-hmm. going to happen. And that just seems like the end of the podcast. But at this point, that gets us to, that almost probably gets us to episode 250. If I had to guess. So we still got a long way to go. That's like over a year still, but yeah, we'll figure out something to do. It might be me in hiatus mode, but
which happens.
Yeah. But yeah, that'll do it for us here for episode 200, Miles. Thank you so much, buddy. It's been
a blast. I mean, it makes it sound like we're ending like now. We still have quite some time before we are, you know.
But like I said,
clocking out.
I feel like we've, you know, already won the game. You know, now we're going into extra points or whatever with season 8. So, but yeah, folks can find us online. Wherever you find podcasts, you can find our Letterboxd, find our social media on Blue Sky, Kaiju versus History. Just Google that. KaijuVersusHistory.com is our website. We're on our other podcasts, Cosmic Crits Discord, if you want to chat with us and a quick check in on the Discord page there. I think maybe the last thing, what was the last thing we talked about in there? No, I can't find it, Miles. Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah, lots of stuff. They're maybe going to make an official Lego Godzilla series.
That's what I'm seeing from a lot of my Lego friends, is that we're getting some sort of Godzilla set.
Mm-hmm. Folks talking about, I think, at this point, the second issue of Godzilla Destroys the Marvel Universe just came out.
I'm excited to get
to those.
I typically read those in trade.
Yeah. I if sometimes they do like alternative covers that are very cool, so I'll pick those up. But as of last month, you posted in there that they're making a Destroya Funko Pop figure, and I'm like, oh my god, it's finally happening. They're finally gonna start making more.
I do hope that we finally, it's been rumored for about 10 years now. I do hope that, and we've been kind of told that work has begun. I am hoping for a new Gamera film, a live action Gamera film.
I wish.
I think it's time, and I think if it's given the proper love, care, and respect that it needs, you could also have another worldwide blockbuster and possibly get more folks to watch some of our favorite Little Turtle.
Right. So that is going to do it for episode 200. What are we starting off with in season 8, Miles? What are we doing next week?
All right. Well, thank you, Patrick. And thank you, listeners. And yes, we're going to catch you next time. We start off the final season, season 8 of the podcast, the 2020s, a decade that started with a bang of a global pandemic. And now we've survived 5 years of making this podcast. We will get this season started off right with a fun new comedic kaiju film from Noro Kawasaki, we mentioned earlier in this episode. So tune in next time for History versus Monster Seafood Wars.
Bum, 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 bum.
Bum, 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 bum.